And we're back here at Sketchbook Audio. Thanks everybody for tuning in. It's going to be an interesting next few months, we'll say. And part of that is good news on my behalf. The other part of it is I think we're going to start to see a lot of crazy things happening as a result of not only the election and the new presidency, but I think we're also going to start to see automakers really taking advantage of the virtual environment that they are working in right now to introduce vehicles to us. We already saw Honda introduce the new Civic, the next generation Civic 2022 model on Twitch. And that was interesting because how do you combine video gaming and Honda? Well, it's not too hard because Honda has had a presence in the video game world as far as professional gaming goes. But to actually get their vehicle live streamed at their vehicle introduction was just a totally different thing. And I don't think it panned out quite the way that they had hoped. I think they were looking for more people who were enthusiastic about the car to be also gamers. And when I was in the stream, I noticed that there was just a lot of negativity, just a lot of negative comments. People were extremely impatient. And, you know, some people didn't even realize there was a car being streamed. A lot of people just came to watch the gaming and thought that introducing a vehicle, almost like a commercial, was tacky. And some people really enjoyed it. They thought it was a cool, unique way to show off a car. And, you know, we don't have auto shows right now. So what else are you going to do? And I applaud Honda for trying something completely different. And you know, being a gamer myself, I took some joy in knowing that I could watch a little bit of gaming and learn a little bit about a new car. And now I'm not a Fortnite fan, but that's the game they were playing. I have noticed, though, that Fortnite has been introducing a lot of superheroes, particularly Marvel superheroes. And recently they just added the Mandalorian characters, a huge slew of them. So you get Baby Yoda, you get the Mandalorian himself, and then you get a couple other characters, of course, all underneath the Disney umbrella. But it's cool nevertheless. I was really excited to see a game that's got potential. It looks fun. But to see them introduce something that's a little bit more commonly known. So good for them. It was a good review. It was a good reveal. And I hope to see more things like that because it's innovative. It's fun. Maybe there's some fine tweaking that they need to do. Honda, Toyota, whoever is going to introduce new cars. That's not a bad way to go about it. But definitely maybe spend some more time with the marketing, the advertisement of that, because I don't think a lot of people really knew about that. The only way you really would have known is if A, you follow Honda, and B, you follow Twitch, or you're on Twitch, or you follow people on Twitch. I think those are really the only ways you were going to know about that. I can't even remember how I figured out about it. I think it was on Twitter, actually, and because I follow, I have a Twitch account that's connected to my Twitter, as well as I follow Honda and a couple others. I think that's how I figured out about it. But I was excited to see the 2022 Civic anyways. I think it's a really interesting car. It looks a lot like the Accord, the present Accord, specifically the Accord Sport, which isn't a bad thing. It's a good-looking car. It's just, it loses its playful, childlike, and over-exaggerated design cues, which some people liked. And, you know, so some people were all for its weirdness. A lot of people thought when it first came out that it was out of place. It just wasn't the way Honda typically does their cars. So at the time, I applauded Honda for doing something weird and totally different than what they normally do. But now that they've lost that, I give them some kudos for making it look like a good car, like a something that you would really want, especially something you would want long term and probably wouldn't get tired of quickly. But again, I wish they would have kept some of the funky line, body line work that they has, particularly in the hatchback. The sedan and the coupe, they really just lose the fender flares up in the front. Or, well, I shouldn't say the fender flares, but the bulging roundness of those fenders and how they kind of round out the body side and then come in real hard-edged like in the front. And then the rear gets smoothed out. And again, it looks a lot like the Accord. It's a more mature development, and it's not a bad thing. It's just not what I was expecting. And we haven't seen the hatchback yet, but if the hatchback can maintain at least its functionality as well as its aggressiveness, then I think we'll have a good car. And unfortunately, the coupe, I believe, is dead the world over. It's gone. It just bad sales. And it's like the only people who are buying coupes these days are buying the Camaro, the Mustang, or the Challenger. So, or, you know, something more exotic like a Porsche or a Ferrari. But even those, you don't need to sell a whole bunch of them. What I wanted to talk about today, and I apologize, there's a blender that just decided to go off in my kitchen. There are not a lot of car reveals coming out right now. But that's not to say that there's not a bunch coming up. In fact, there's a lot. It's just, you know, with this pandemic, it's really put a, like a roadblock, no pun intended, on all of these cars and their developments and their releases. But a couple things I wanted to talk about. It's kind of a departure from cars themselves, but I saw this in the news, and I actually saw this on my friend's Instagram. His name is Danny Chang. I've competed with him a couple times in the Middlecott Sketch Battle. If you guys aren't familiar with the Middlecott Sketch Battle, it was a big competition here in the United States where artists from all around the United States would come to one venue and they would compete against each other to figure out who was the best car designer. And then they actually decided to expand a bit and turn do like a spinoff where it was product design and industrial design. So that incorporated a lot of those different kind of designers. And I think the goal was to eventually get this sketch battle to other countries. There was talk about going to Japan and some other countries out that way. But because of the pandemic, of course, we are no longer doing that. And it sucks because that was something I really enjoyed doing. I know that was something that Danny enjoyed doing. Michael DiTullo, I can't think of their names all right now, but there was just a lot of good. Darby Jean Barber, who works for General Motors, Justin Salmon, also General Motors. A lot of people that I knew and then went to school with, or just people that I follow on Instagram. Actually, and even some of them were people that I met at the sketch battle and just became friends with them. They're people that are, you know, I look up to and I respect their work a lot. John Fry was another one. John Fry, if you ever get a chance, check out his Instagram. He does these really weird and cool spaceship / cars. And sometimes he takes inspiration from something that's like modern or historical, and then he puts a real weird twist on them, and I love it because they're so fun. They're very playful, but he's a phenomenal designer, and definitely check out his work. You can find him on Instagram at Frywerk. That's Frywerk. Give him a check out because, again, really cool work, and I enjoyed competing against him in the sketch battles. The news that I wanted to talk about that I saw that I thought was really interesting. I thought I saw this on Danny Chang's Instagram. I don't have to double check. I'm going to pull it up right now. But it was the coolest idea. And here it is. So I think he has something to do with it. Yep, Frank Stevenson. Okay, so Danny works for Frank Stevenson and Frank Stevenson Design. And you can find Danny on YouTube. I will put a link to his account on this podcast, but it's youtube.com/C/Danny, D-A-N-E-Y, C Designs. And he does a lot of how-tos, and he shows you how he does his really cool liquid marker technique. It's really brilliant. I think he actually even has like a patent on it or something. It's a really wild technique, and he does a great job. And I have competed against him a couple times in the sketch battles, and he's always a blast to compete against. But anyways, there's this event that's going to happen next year sometime where high school students are going to be able to race drone cars, robot cars, RC cars on the moon. That's nuts. And just talk about a fun, unique way to pass the time, but also utilize the moon for something totally different than what it, you know, what it, Earth uses it for. But, you know, it's empty right now. So why not put some RC cars on there that you can remotely control from somewhere in California or Florida somewhere. But it looks like Danny did some of the designs of the RC cars, and it's really cool. And the people who will be racing the cars are actually high school students. I don't know what high school, but as soon as I find out, I will let you guys know. They're really interesting car designs. They don't look like a traditional RC car, with the exception that it has four wheels and a center body. But the body is kind of floating on top of this center mount where the wheels, so the front wheels are on like a Y fork, and then the rear wheels are on a similar Y fork, and then they both flex at the center. That's their axis. And it's really weird. I'll put it up on my Instagram, but I'll see if I can get a link to it on this podcast. Again, if you want to check out this podcast, anchor.fm is the key place to go to. That's where I house all of my podcasts. But you can also find this on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and there's a few other ones. But for those who are tuning in, I appreciate it. Thank you for sticking with this. Part of the podcast that I had going on originally in mind was I was utilizing my my in to the automotive industry as far as getting to be in the media and reviewing cars at the auto shows. But because we haven't had any auto shows, it's been kind of hard to do that. Now, that brings me up to an interesting topic. I mentioned at the beginning of this show that some good news has come up. I got a hold of some people over at, I'm not going to tell you which automaker, but I got a hold of this automaker and their marketing department, and I've submitted my application for it, but I will find out very shortly whether or not I will be able to use fleet vehicles to test and review and get those up on both the podcast as well as my YouTube channel, which, by the way, if you're wondering what my YouTube channel is, I will have it attached to this podcast, as well as I will tell you what it is right now. It is, and I'm going to change this very soon, but it's youtube.com/that1guy, FTW. So that's youtube.com/that1guy, FTW, which stands for the win. I just haven't had a chance to change it yet, but that's where you can check out a lot of cool things that I've been working on lately. Car reviews. I have about four or five up there. Most of them are my cars, but hey, I go through cars like water, so it's always something new. And then I also do a lot of how-to videos, everything from changing air filters to spark plugs, doing an oil change, changing the interior lights from halogens to LEDs. It's just the little stuff that I do, and it's fun, and I have a good time doing it. But that's what Sketchbook Audio is branching out into, is more car reviews, as well as, like, there'll be official car reviews. And it's just a way to supplement the fact that we don't have auto shows anymore. So what else is going on in the automotive industry? Again, not a whole lot. But if you go check out autoblog.com, there was one thing that caught my eye. And it's, I've not mentioned it before because it's not one of my favorite cars to talk about. But it's the Nissan Kicks. The Nissan Kicks is a very interesting crossover, I guess we'll call it. It's basically a Nissan Sentra that's been lifted. And you could also compare it to a Nissan Juke. On the one side, you know, the previous Juke, not everybody loved it. It wasn't received all too well because it was so weird looking. It was so funky. But to those who do like it and do enjoy it. It's, they have that kind of creativity, that eye for the weird. And it was definitely one of my favorite cars, but the Nissan Kicks came in and was like a toned down version of it. And it's kind of bland. I'm not gonna lie. It's got like 120 horsepower. It's very small. It's pretty spacious on the inside, but it's small. It's very diminutive, and it's front wheel drive only. And to make matters even worse, that front wheel drive is powered by a CVT transmission and a, like I said, a four cylinder with about 125 horsepower and 115 pound feet of torque. So if you're expecting to go anywhere to get a kick out of this car, look elsewhere, because that's not where this car is. Now, interestingly enough, that power isn't horrible for its size. And what do I mean by its size? It's 2,600 pounds. If you know anything about the weights of cars, particularly crossovers, they tend to be heavy. And the Kicks comes in at least 600 pounds less than what the competition is. So it's interesting. And part of that weight, of course, is that weight loss is because it doesn't have an all-wheel drive system. But I feel like if they had thrown in all-wheel drive, this would be a much more competent vehicle. Now, the Fiat 500X and the Renegade are about the same size, if not maybe even a little smaller, and they both have all-wheel drive, so it can be done. And both of those cars have now the 1.3-liter turbo, which puts out over 200 horsepower. So it's possible. They just need to do it, and I would be excited to see how they go about doing it. They could actually throw in the 1.5-liter turbo from the Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross, which, by the way, tomorrow at 12 o'clock, I don't even know what time, it's Japan's time, so 12 o'clock their time, they will be, so it was actually like 18 hours from now, but they will be revealing, again, the Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross, and I think what they're going to be doing is doing like a deep dive into it. There's commercials in it for the vehicle in Australia and Germany and a couple other places, but we haven't really gotten a deep dive into how capable is the plug-in hybrid system. Is it going to come to the United States? The body kit, is that going to be available for the United States? Because it's a really cool looking body kit. For what I can tell right now, it's the 1.5-liter turbo that I had in my Eclipse Cross, which it's a little weak. It's not horrible, but it's also attached to a CVT transmission, and I think that's what really killed it. There's definitely plenty of room for a bigger engine and or a bigger turbo. There's also plenty of room for a plug-in hybrid system, which, as I said, there is one. It's just we might not get it here in the United States, which is a shame because that was probably its biggest flaw, was that it got horrible gas mileage. It was a great crossover, but horrible gas mileage. And yeah, if you're looking for a good car, though, that's at a great price, definitely check out the Eclipse Cross, especially now because they're going to go into this new refresh. You can get a great deal on them. I recommend it. If you're not concerned about the power and the fuel economy, then go get that car. It's got all the safety features you could possibly want: adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitoring, backup camera. It's got a really cool panoramic sunroof. The back end's a little funky because it's got that Pontiac Aztec split window back end, but it's okay. Because personally, I think you get better visibility. Now you do have a bar that's kind of cutting your window view back there, but that lower window does let you see the road and what's directly underneath and behind you pretty easily. So anywho, I got to find things to talk about sometimes because the lack of car reveals is staggering. Oh, here's another interesting thing that I saw in the news. Jeep is offering Lego and Jeep will be offering a Lego Jeep Wrangler. Finally, it's been years and years that this has been in the making, but now they're finally offering one. The sad thing is it's tiny. It's fully functional. It's got a lot of articulation. It's got solid front and rear axles. The wheels are real rubber. It's got a real working winch. The doors open, the seats fold flat. It's very capable. It's a very small one, but hey, $49, not going to scoff at that at all. You can pick that up January 1st from the Lego website, lego.com, or there's a bunch of other stores that I'm sure will be selling it, from Target to Legoland in California. There's one in Michigan now. at the Great Lakes Crossing Mall, and there's one in Florida, I believe, as well. So check that out if you're interested in LEGO Technics. $49, not too shabby. Coming up on 20 minutes here, I got a couple more things I wanted to dive into real quick, and then I want to switch gears from cars to some other art topics before we go. But Mini Cooper, if you've ever heard of the GP, which is a John Cooper Works Grand Prix, this thing is insane. There's not a ton of horsepower, and it's very expensive, but it's extremely lightweight. There's a lot of carbon fiber, and it's a two-door, well, three-door if you count the hatch, but it's just a really cool-looking car, and it's very fun. It's just wild. Best news ever, though, Mini has decided to electrify it. Now, whether or not that's a plug-in hybrid or it's a fully electric vehicle, who knows? But it's like my dream. It's like they read my dream somehow, because I've been demanding a high-performance compact vehicle. The big question will be, will this come to the States? Because right now we don't get all the cool cars, and the Mini GP was a very low volume anyway. So the gas powered one, I think they only had like 400 or 500 of them. But it's got over 300 horsepower. So that's pretty insane. But think about what an electric vehicle could do, an electric powertrain. 500 horsepower, anybody? Possibly from the BMW iX? Who knows? It could just be something simple from the BMW i3. Now, the BMW i3, sadly, will be disappearing very soon if it hasn't already. But that would be a good way to, you know, make use of those parts, because Mini is BMW. The other thing I wanted to talk about that I saw in here was Jaguar is really turning a corner, and I love their designs. Case in point, the brand new Jaguar F-Pace. The SVR just looks mean, looks aggressive, it looks angry, and it definitely holds up to the performance moniker that it has. It looks great. The last thing I wanted to talk about, I wanted to get people's opinions on this one, because it kind of weirds me out. We know the Toyota RAV4 is a good car. It's a great car. I had one. Again, there's a review of it up on my YouTube. Be sure to check it out. It's a very detailed review, and I had a lot of fun with my RAV4. It was a 2019, but this is just weird. I don't even know how to describe it. It is a Chevy truck that had relations with, and not even a new Chevy truck, but an old like Jimmy that had relations with this Toyota RAV4, the newer RAV4. And it's called the Mitsuoka Buddy. And I might be totally bastardizing that name there, but it's just, I can't get over it. And I think it's electric, but anyways, it's very expensive. It's $19,000 over a base RAV4 in the Japanese market. There's only 200 of them that were made in the first round, and those new round won't even be available until 2023, but you got to check it out on autoblog.com, or just Google it. It's blending a 40-year-old Chevy truck with a 2020 Toyota RAV4. I don't know what to think about it. I guess it's cool because it actually looks pretty well put together. And when you look at it from the front, you're like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. It's like, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it. But then you get to the side and you're like, huh, it's a RAV4. I get that. The front end's a little bit flat, like a Chevy truck would be. And then you get to the rear and there's this chrome bumper that gets slapped on. And there's a chrome bumper in the front too. And it's just out of place. But I'm wondering if they did anything to the interior. They don't show any pictures of the interior, but it looks like this is supposed to be an electric car. Oh, instead of a three, you get a choice of Toyota powertrains. The base is a 2.0-liter four cylinder with 171 horsepower, or the 2.5-liter, which I had, which has 219 horsepower. Interesting. I thought this was going to be an electric conversion. It is not. Okay, so I don't know why you would buy this then, other than the fact that it's wild. Now, I have noticed that the Japanese have taken a liking to a lot of our classic vehicles, and where we are now able to import a lot of Japanese and Korean and Chinese cars here to the United States, after the 15 years, they're doing the same, but they're also kind of copying vintage and classic cars from the United States for aftermarket purposes. It's really weird. It's really cool. This one, I don't quite know about it, but I would love your guys' opinions. Let me know what you think about it. The last thing I wanted to talk about is this competition I am doing on ArtStation. If you're an artist of any kind, whether it's an animator or an illustrator or a graphic designer, you need to be on ArtStation. You can find job postings there, and they have tons of job postings on a daily basis. I've actually found that there's a lot of jobs that are allowing for remote work, so that's cool. So if you're in need of a job and you're an artist, you're a freelance artist or whatever, definitely get a portfolio and a page made on ArtStation.com. The other one is, of course, Behance, B-E-H-A-N-C-E. Behance is part of Adobe, and they have a free portfolio site that you can build. I've been building mine as well as on ArtStation. But ArtStation has this competition going on right now, and there's still time and an opening for people to join in on the competition. There's four, challenges that you can do. You can only do one, but you can pick from one of these four challenges. So let me pull up the page real quick. So I am specifically doing the environment design, but the challenge itself is called the Grand Space Opera Light Age. And like I said, I'm doing the environment one, but the other ones are keyframe design, character design, environment design, and prop design. So for prop design, you can do like a vehicle, a gun, some kind of building or alien spacecraft or man-made spacecraft. The character design, of course, you're creating an alien or a species or a life form from this alien planet that you were designing for. And then the other one is keyframe design, which I think, I don't even know what this one is. Keyframe deliverable. In this challenge, you will create four keyframes showing key narrative events in a recently discovered corner of the universe. Keyframes can be four individual scenarios or unique scenes, or it can be two sets of sequential keyframes before and after moments in the same environments, showing key story beats. The stories can show humans coming into contact with these alien beings, or can focus only on alien stories. Now, you can do, you can utilize 3D modeling. A lot of people are using ZBrush or Maya and 3D Studio Max, VRed, and a couple other programs. Or you can just do Photoshop and combine a bunch of, do like a photo collage and build an alien planet with elements like that. I'm doing it completely freehand, free sketch, and I'm having a lot of fun. So you can actually go and check out my work along with other people's work on this challenge. I'm posting, not daily, but bi-daily, we'll call it, updates. I have to look at and see how long this thing actually goes to. I think it's in January is when it ends and everything has to be turned in. But my ArtStation is ryan_sketch.artstation.com. So you can go on there. You can follow my challenge. Please like a couple of my things if you find anything that strikes your fancy. Much appreciated. And I hope to see you on that challenge as well, or just on ArtStation in general. It's a great source of material for inspiration. You can also get some classes on there. You can even buy other people's artwork or sell your own artwork. Anyways, that's all I got for today. Stay tuned for next week. I will have another podcast up. There are some things happening next week, and I will be in California. So I have some things to discuss there, particularly Polestar. So get excited for that. Thank you for tuning in. As always, get your sketchbooks out. Sketch, 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 draw. get on ArtStation, get on Behance, get your portfolios going, and of course, be good to one another and take care of each other. Till next time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Sketchbook Audio with your host, Ryan Sketch. Thanks for tuning in. We got a great show coming up next.